Well, the children of Israel, as we saw last time in the third chapter of this book of Joshua, have started out on the journey into the promised land from where they have been encamped on the plains of Moab. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, being carried by the priests, has gone before them and has entered into the Jordan River. And as the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant touched the waters of the Jordan, they were cut off. And it is apparent that they were heaped up at a distance from where the Israelites were crossing until all of the people had crossed over on dry land. And then at Joshua's command, in obedience to the Lord, the priests were called up out of the Jordan, and as the last of the soles of their feet once more stood upon the banks of the Jordan, the waters immediately flowed again within the banks and overflowing the banks, for it was in the season of the flooding of the Jordan that these things occurred. Joshua has been instructed by God to take from the midst of the Jordan 12 stones, each stone representing a tribe of Israel, and these were to be set up as a memorial in the place where they were to encamp that night after crossing over the Jordan. What do these stones mean? That is the question that is to be anticipated for generations to come, as the sons and daughters of respective descendants of these first people to enter the promised land would pass this place and see this heap of stones. They will ask, what do these stones mean? What do these stones mean? Well, they're a memorial, so they are there as a reminder of something. What are they to remind the children of Israel and their descendants of? And the simple answer to that question is that they are to remember the Lord is Almighty. They're to remember that the Lord is Almighty. What do these stones mean? You shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. Now, it's not just a fact that they're to remember. It's not just the reality that somehow the Jordan stopped its flow and the children of Israel passed over on dry land. You know, this isn't the only time in the history of the Jordan River that it has stopped flowing. And then a few hours later has started flowing once again. It happened in at least three times in recorded history since then. The commentators inform us that there is a natural phenomenon that happens from time to time when in a gorge higher up the Jordan Valley, an earthquake or some other natural phenomenon causes the cliff sides to collapse into the river, forming a dam. And the waters accumulate behind this natural dam until the pressure is such that it breaks through and they continue to flow freely once again. But is this simply the record of a natural phenomena that has repeatedly happened during history? Well, Joshua would have us know that this is not the case. This isn't simply a site of historical importance that tells the children of Israel that the Israelites somehow managed to pass over on dry ground. No, there's more to this than simply this statement, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For Joshua explains, the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. This was God's hand at work. This was his doing. Now, it is possible that God used natural phenomena to achieve this at this particular time in history. God does that from time to time. It wouldn't minimize the miraculous and powerful act of God, because the timing of this was perfect. Had it been a natural phenomena that caused the waters to stop flowing, the timing was to coincide with when the feet of the priests stepped into the Jordan, and the flow would immediately resume as soon as the feet of the priests stepped out of the Jordan. This was still a miracle, even if it had coincided with a natural event. The point then for the children of Israel is not simply that the waters stopped flowing and the Israelites passed over on dry ground, but that the Lord God dried up the waters of the Jordan so that they might pass over on dry ground, as the Lord had done at the Red Sea. And there's a further reason for this. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. They are to remember, the Lord is almighty. They are to remember that the Lord has powerfully worked to bring them this day into the promised land. And this is a significant day. This isn't just any day of the year for the Israelites. This is the 10th day of the first month. So what's the significance of that? Well, this is the day that in one sense began the Exodus, because this is the day 40 years earlier when they had chosen a lamb from their flocks. That 4 days later, on the 14th day of the first month, would be sacrificed, and its blood would be daubed on the lintels and doorposts of their homes, that the angel of death might pass over them, that they might begin this journey to the promised land. God, you see, is mighty to save. This is what these people need to know. This is what they need to remember, that God is almighty and that he is mighty to save. He finishes the work that he had begun all those many decades earlier. That the delay has only taken place because of the rebellion of the people and God's punishing and chastening of them, so that a whole generation of unbelievers would die in the wilderness. But he is faithful to his promise yet. And the second generation of Israelites received the inheritance promised to Abraham 4 centuries earlier. God is mighty to save, and on this 10th day of the first month, the children of Israel pass over the Jordan and enter into the promised land. What do these stones mean? They are a reminder that the Lord is almighty, and the children of Israel need to remember that the Lord is almighty. He is powerful to save, and nothing is able to stand in his way. Not the armies of Pharaoh of Egypt, not the waters of the Red Sea, not the unbelief of a generation of Israelites, not the floodwaters of the Jordan Valley. Nothing is able to prevent him from fulfilling his purpose to bring his people into the land of their inheritance. And these generations need to know this from generation to generation. They need to be assured of this. They need to be reminded of this. The Lord is almighty, and he will save those who trust in him. Dale Roth Davis, commenting on this passage, says that the greatest enemy of faith may be forgetfulness. We forget what God has done for us in the past. And because we forget what God has done for us and done for his people in the past, we doubt him today. When we're faced with difficulties, when trials beset us on every side, we wonder, where is God? Why is this happening to me? Because we've forgotten that God is almighty to save, and that he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion. And there are many who have succumbed to temptation, and there are many who have doubted the goodness of God, and there are many who have continued their lives in bitterness because they have forgotten the goodness of God, the power of God, that he is mighty to save. So here are these stones set up on the banks of the Jordan in Gilgal, a reminder that the Lord is almighty. But we can answer this question a little bit differently. What do these stones mean? Well, they mean that we must believe the Lord is almighty. We must believe the Lord is almighty. Now you might say, well, isn't that pretty much the same thing as you just said? And the reality is that we can know certain things without believing certain things. In other words, the past acts of power demand present obedience, present trust. This is not simply a call to remember, you see. It's a call to act upon the remembrance. This isn't simply the fact that the future generations are to remember that Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. But it's for the future generations of the Israelites to act on the almighty power of God, to trust in the almighty power of God, to move forward in this certain knowledge that God is almighty. They're to believe it. And believing it, they're to obey him. No doubt it was this experience in crossing the Jordan that helped the Israelites just a little while later to trust God when he commanded them to walk around the city of Jericho. Day after day after day for a week, while those on the walls scoffed at them. Why do all this walking? Because God has commanded. But why should we obey the command of God? Because God is almighty, and in his way and at his time he will do his will, and he will perform that which he has promised. He will deliver the land of promise as an inheritance into the hands of these Israelites. And so it would be for future generations, remembering that the Lord is almighty, they must believe the Lord is almighty and obey the command of the Lord. And so it is for everyone who knows that God is the God of heaven and earth, the God who rules over all the nations, that his hand is mighty. We must believe it and demonstrate that we believe it by being obedient to his word. We're called to trust him. In dark days, we're called to trust him, as well as when he leads us in green pastures and beside still waters, when it's so easy to trust him. It's when his commands to wait upon him in prayer seem to be so tedious and difficult, we're to trust him. When what he requires of us is so countercultural that we draw upon ourselves the scorn of those around us in our places of work, we're to trust him and we're to obey him. We're to believe that in the end his powerful hand will be revealed and our faith in him will be vindicated. Here are the children of Israel, and at last they're entering in to the promised land on the 10th day of the first month, 40 years after they first left Egypt. How many questions have been asked in those 40 years? How often they must have wondered as they broke camp in one part of the wilderness only to pitch it again in another part of the wilderness. And year after year to be seemingly making no progress towards the land of promise. But God is almighty to save. And he brings them in so that on this day at last their feet are standing on the land of their inheritance. And their children and their children's children must know that their Lord is to be believed and he is to be obeyed. Calamity will befall them. Nations will rise up against them. Famine will lay them low. Why? Because of unbelief and disobedience. And they must know that the Lord is almighty so that they may fear the Lord their God forever. And return to the Lord who has made great and bountiful promises to them. So this isn't simply a matter of remembering when they see a pile of stones on the banks of the Jordan. It's a matter of believing. An active obedience that comes through faith in the mighty power of God. But there's another thing that we could say in answer to this question. What do these stones mean? They mean that the Almighty Lord is to be proclaimed. They are to tell others what the Lord has done. Generation after generation must recount these events and the mighty hand of God in delivering them. This isn't something to be kept to themselves. This is something to be shared, that others may enjoy a confidence in God and in his power to save, that others may participate in this wonderful knowledge that there is a God who has brought deliverance to those who will trust in him. And that's not just the language of the Old Testament, that's the language of the New Testament. That's the language of Jesus. After he has freed the Gadarene demoniac from his legion of demons, and there he sits before him, clothed and in his right mind, rejoicing that he is now freed from slavery to demonic possession. And he pleads with Jesus that he might go with him and follow him wherever he went. And Jesus tells him, no, no, you go. You go into your country, you go to your towns and villages, you go among the people who have seen you in your chains and witnessed your cries and have seen your desperate condition, and you tell them what the Lord has done for you. Tell them the almighty power of God and how he freed you from the curse of sin and death and brought you into this new life. Tell others what the Lord has done for you. This is what we must do. God's great power that has saved us from our sins, God's great power that calls us to live for him, is not something that we're to keep to ourselves. It's not something that we're to shut away in a secure, safe place lest we might lose it. No, it becomes stronger and more rich and wonderful to us the more we share it with others, The more we allow the mighty power of God to be seen by others, tasted by others, embraced by others, as we tell them what the Lord has done for us, it becomes the promise of hope for them. This Lord who is so almighty to save from the power of sin. This Lord who is so almighty to save from the depths of hopelessness and despair. This Lord who is so almighty to save that he promises a great and rich inheritance for those who trust in him. This Lord can be the Lord of all who cry to him. He can transform their lives also. What do these stones mean? They mean that there is an almighty God who can transform the lives of anyone who will cry to him for mercy and follow him in their lives. The Lord is mighty. He's mighty to save, he's mighty to deliver, he's mighty to fulfill all his promises. Do you believe that? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? And are you telling others about this great and mighty God who has the power to transform lives and bring peace and reconciliation with the Creator, pardoning sin and giving an inheritance that is eternal? May God help us never to forget, always to believe, and ready to proclaim, the Lord is almighty. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this episode in the history of Israel and for what we're able to learn from it. And we pray, our Father, that you would help us never to forget your greatness and power, never to forget your goodness and love, never to forget your promises and hope. That when we're confronted by difficult situations, when we face seemingly insurpassable problems, that we may know that you are the Almighty God who saves and delivers and fulfills his promises. And so may we walk in obedience to you. And so may we proclaim your greatness to all who will listen. And so may our Saviour be exalted in our lives. We ask in his precious name. Amen.